Everybody knows what a powder keg is, right? It's like this barrel of dry gunpowder just waiting for the tiniest spark to set off an explosion. I think the parable in our gospel describes a powder keg situation. But it's also a powder keg for our own lives. In the line right before the gospel this morning begins, Matthew tells us that the chief priests and the Pharisees wanted to arrest Jesus, but they were afraid to do so because of the crowd. Then the gospel says that in response to the chief priests and the Pharisees, Jesus told this parable. These people want to arrest and kill Jesus. And in response to that kind of a murderous threat, he tells a parable about how much God wants them to come to the joy-filled wedding feast, the wedding banquet for his son. We get a glimpse here of the God of Jesus Christ, who simply wants us to respond to his invitation to boundless joy in his kingdom. But there's the crux, and therein lies the powder keg. This joy is found in his kingdom, not ours. The king in the parable has done all the work. I've prepared my banquet. My calves and fattened cattle are killed. Everything is ready. Just come to the feast. All the invited guests have to do is let go of their own plans, forego their own dinner, turn aside from their own kingdom, and come to the king's feast. With that first invite, though, they refused to come. The king, however, refuses to give up. And with his second invitation, we get a little more of an insight into maybe why they refused to come. The gospel says some ignored the invitation and went away, one to his farm, another to his business. The rest laid hold of his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. That first word there, ignored, means they just didn't care. Here's an invitation, really, right, from the king of the universe to the wedding feast of his son, the prince of the universe. And they don't care. It says they go away, one to his farm, another to his business. They go away each to their own little petty kingdom. All I care about is my world, my business, my kingdom. So there are some among us who choose not to care what the king of the universe has created for us and calls us to. But then, Jesus says in this parable that there are some who react violently to the calling of the king. What in the world is going on there? Someone gets an invitation to a wedding and they respond by killing the messenger? That's insane. What possibly drives them to that kind of violence? Have you ever noticed that many, if not most of us human beings, prefer to live our lives distracted from reality? We're preoccupied with work during the day. We're preoccupied with home care or home improvement or media entertainment at night. Now, some work frantically during the week and spend the weekend in a drunken or cannabis haze. The one thing we don't take time for, the one thing we run away from, the one thing we even ridicule as laziness, is contemplative rest. Normally we view rest as a time to recover between the binges of excessive work and excessive self-indulgence. What would happen if we spent a whole weekend in contemplative quiet? we might begin to experience our own nothingness, our own insufficiency, our own dependence, our own powerlessness and emptiness. We might experience boredom or gloom or sadness or anxiety or spite or despair. Sounds awful, doesn't it? But if we're merely avoiding those realities, then we're never letting God into them. Never letting God transform them. Never realizing our need for God, if that's who we are. It's precisely our admission of nothingness and insufficiency which calls forth God's power and sufficiency, which alone produces in us joy and vitality and hope and exaltation and love. I think in the gospel here, some responded violently precisely because they wanted at all costs to avoid those terrible, boring, anxious, sad, and despairing realities in their lives. Those of us who struggle to understand our need for God or His church have never let ourselves experience life without distractions. I read the other day that when the priest, Karol Wojtyła, you know who that was, right? Pope, now Saint John Paul II, when he was told by his then bishop that the Pope wanted to make him an auxiliary bishop, he didn't ask for time to think about it. His immediate response was, "Where do I sign the paper?" But then he immediately left and spent 8 straight hours in the church in prayer, facing his own demons and inviting the Lord's grace in. "What are you doing to my life? Who am I? I'm nothing. I'm insufficient. I'm not enough. I'm scared. I'm sad. I'm broken. I'm bored. I don't know what to do. I'm helpless. I'm powerless. Let me sit here with you, who are enough." Can you spend 8 straight hours in prayer? Can you spend 1 hour in prayer? The King is inviting us, calling us to let go of how we think we need to fill our time, what we think we need to accomplish in this life, and instead to respond to his call just to recline at the banquet wedding feast for his son. Notice in this gospel that in the end, the hall was filled with those who were called. The King knows exactly how many of us there are, and he tailors his banquet hall for each one of us. The particular care of that call is manifested there in the gospel. And then finally, the King enters the banquet hall to meet the guests. And the Greek there literally says, he entered the banquet hall to behold the guests, to look upon them, to gaze upon them, to delight in seeing them. He comes in to gaze and contemplate, behold all those that he's called. Why? Because we bear the image and likeness of his son. He's beholding the glory of his son in the disciples of his son. That's the wedding garment that all the guests are required to have put on. And when the King sees a man who didn't put on the wedding garment, who refused to change his way and to put on Christ, he goes up to him. He doesn't say, "Jerk, get out of here." He says, "Friend, where's your wedding garment? Friend, where's your wedding garment? Where is Christ in you? He's giving him yet another chance to repent and put on Christ. But the man refuses. The word here for friend is kind of an unusual word for in the Greek there. But it's the same word that Jesus uses later in the same gospel in the Garden of Gethsemane to Judas. Friend, do you betray the Son of Man with a kiss? The king throws him out of the banquet hall only because of his unrepentant betrayal of Christ. Every single person in that banquet hall must wear a wedding garment, because each one of us is called into intimate friendship and communion with Christ. We're called to be willing and able to give up our own priorities, our own distractions, our own petty kingdoms, in order to fill the church, in order to fill the banquet hall of God's kingdom with the splendor of Christ shining through us. If the Lord called you today to enter his eternal banquet hall of joy, how willingly, how eagerly would you let go of everything in this world in order to respond to his calling? Or would we violently hang on to what we have and call our own? Here's the homework for the week. Make time this week for real Christian rest, leisure, real quiet prayer with no distractions. And if you feel boredom or sadness or anxiety, etc., know that's what the Lord wants to heal and transform and invite him into, to do just that.